Hey, I'm Tony Perkins. If you're a small business owner, your life is busy. You can't be figuring out every little thing, how to bring in the next client, how to figure out payroll. You don't have the time or the money to have your own secretary to take the calls, but answering all of the calls yourself makes it hard to look professional. Here's something that's going to help you. It's called eVoice. Whether you're a business of one or 100, eVoice will help you manage all of your incoming calls. With a toll-free number, dial-by-name directory, and call routing tools, your business is going to sound like a bustling Fortune 500 company. Even if you can't take a call, eVoice will transcribe the voicemail and email it to you. And with eVoice, you can even try it before you buy it. Right now, just for our listeners, you can get a 60-day trial of eVoice absolutely free. Go to our website, click on the eVoice banner on the top of the page, and insert the code TPGS. Take charge of your business. Go to our website and click on the banner. Insert the code TPGS at checkout for your 60-day free trial. eVoice, a better way to connect.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. It's the Tony Perkins Show, featuring Gary Stein. No, they're not related. They're just good friends. It's Tony and Gary.
Hey there, boys and girls.
Oh, boy. Listen to your voice.
This is
you got a frog in your throat.
I've got a couple of frogs in my throat.
You know what this could mean? This could mean on this particular show, you're quieter than usual.
Yeah, it might mean that.
And I might have to do all the talking.
Well, we don't want to subject people to that. So,
you know, I noticed that while we were doing the theme song and we were singing,
yes,
you were playing make-believe piano.
Yes, I was.
On the desk.
Yes, I was.
And you know what I like about that?
What?
It's not like playing the harmonica. Because
there's no sound.
And thank God.
That's right, yes.
Because you are musically declined.
Yeah. I have been musically declined. Hey there, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. I am Tony Perkins.
I am not Tony Perkins.
He's Gary Stein.
I am Gary Stein.
And as always, we are very pleased to be with you. I, as you may have been able to hear, am a little bit under the weather.
Yeah.
I've been battling a cold, and so I'm going to, slug through this.
You're like a true hero, though, really. You just come through. I know you called in earlier and said you're not doing it, but but really, you just... You just take the bull by the horns and say, what am I doing with a bull?
Well,
it's always.
Because, here's the great thing about doing a show, as you know, your adrenaline gets going and it helps you power through.
Right.
Now, it's not going to fix my voice, unfortunately, but I've been resting it. And so, we'll try to make do.
I don't feel the adrenaline thing as much as I feel like I have to pee more. That's usually what happens.
Oh, the adrenaline is what gets you through. Anyway, welcome to the show. We are joined by our youthful ward, Rob Ford.
Yeah, Rob Ford. Oh, yeah.
I dated a girl in college, and she was a singer, and she did all kinds of just kooky, wacky things to keep her voice in check.
Yeah.
And to recover. She would do gargling of salt water. She would put washcloths on her throat while she'd slept. It was bizarre.
Yeah, well, the whole idea is you want to keep everything moist, right?
Keeping things moist in general is better.
Well, yeah. That's why the relationship didn't work out.
Are we talking about singing? Sarah does a whole bunch of things to sort of warm up and make sure that her voice is ready for a show.
I gargled with salt water.
Uh-huh.
My throat is not sore. It was sore a few days ago. And I actually thought I had gotten over all of this. And I had one really good day. I thought, this is great. My wife tells me to take Airborne. In fact, I have some. Where is it? Let me show you. Have you heard of this?
Yeah, I've heard of Airborne.
Yeah,
he's going to show you Airborne through the radio.
There you go. I'm showing it to Gary.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Visual
element.
Well, yeah, you take this every 4 hours. I think it's just loaded with vitamins, and it helps you if you take it when you first start getting a cold. It helps you not get the cold, or it helps shorten the duration of the cold.
But do you believe in any of that? Remember coldies is supposed to do that?
Yeah. I don't think that works at all.
I don't think anything shortens the length of a cold.
Well,
time.
I guess you're right, because I thought it had. This thing lasted like a day and a half, and I was like, this is fantastic. And I had one good day, and now I'm sliding back.
It's the Placebo Perkins Show featuring Gary Stein.
That's right. Somebody's making money on it, but that's all.
Yeah.
We'll
do the best we can. I want to remind everybody to please like the Tony Perkins Show on Facebook. Please.
I hate the begging. I hate the
begging. No, we're not begging.
Don't beg. Okay, go ahead.
Like us on Facebook. We're very good about posting additional material there. Rob Ford in particular is good about it. And we interact with all of our fans on Facebook. And follow us on Twitter, at TPerkShow. Tell your children, your grandchildren to do that as well.
And even if social media isn't really your bag, just get on there, like us, follow us. Anything that helps an uptick in the numbers, it really helps the show out a lot.
Yeah. I like how Rob is becoming old-timey.
Yeah, he
said, if it really isn't your bag.
Isn't your bag.
That's very 1960s.
Papa's got a brand new bag.
Yeah, that's very
60s. I wonder if he knows what that means.
I don't.
You don't know what that means.
What does that mean?
You must leave the show. That's what it means.
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Usually when we do the show, it is you, myself, and Rob Ford in the studio.
Yeah, is it not that now?
No, there's another person sitting in the studio.
Oh, you noticed him?
I did notice him.
Okay, so...
Who is he?
Well, listen, I don't have to tell you that. you know what? Think of today as being sort of like show and tell, like you bring a friend to work.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so he has a real purpose here. I don't want him to speak now.
Okay.
Not that I can control him, but I can.
Okay.
And he won't speak now, but pretty soon you're going to find out why he's here. And you know what? I don't think you'll ever forget this day.
Oh, boy.
I don't want to oversell it.
Okay.
But I don't think you'll ever forget this day.
Well, he's not a long-lost relative, I can tell that.
No.
He's not of my persuasion.
He's not of your persuasion, and he's not good-looking enough to be part of mine.
Oh, I thought you were going to give me a compliment there for a second.
When? When did I ever? When did I ever?
All right. Before we... well, welcome, whoever you are. Glad to have you here. Well, I thought you had a bodyguard or something. The first thing I thought when you two walked in was... And this is bizarre.
Yeah.
I looked for... like a handcuff, because I thought maybe Gary's
done
something.
Is that something you like?
No. I thought maybe you were handcuffed to him and you were in some trouble that you were going to explain.
No.
Okay.
I don't know why
We need at least 2,000 Twitter followers before Gary can afford a bodyguard.
I like that. That's a way
follow
to get
at T-Perk Show.
I'd like to know why I would need one. what are we doing on the show that requires a bodyguard?
Oh, you never know.
All right.
Listen, I want to mention one thing. Tonight, the day that this show is originally airing, I get to I'm appearing at the local Emmy Awards. The regional Emmys is what they're called. And
what time is that?
Starts at 7.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm still here at 7.
Oh, would you like to join?
Well, why are you asking me now?
But you have to be in a tuxedo and everything.
You know, you don't plan ahead, do you?
I could easily
wear a tuxedo, and you just didn't want me to be a part of this, and I'm not even letting you finish the introduction. You know what? I don't care what you're promoting. If I'm not involved, how good can it be?
Well, you're not regularly on TV, but it would have been great to
have you.
It's
not my fault.
That is true. That is true.
All right, go ahead. Go promote the thing you're doing on your own without me. Go on.
We are trying to make that happen. Anyway, I just want to mention it because it's a wonderful event.
Please mention it. Go ahead.
And I have been asked this year to present the Gold and Silver Circle Awards, which is reserved for people who've been in the business 25, 30 years. That's a separate ceremony. That's going to happen during the fall. But tonight, they want me to come out. It's like a little surprise thing and promote that.
Oh, sounds really good. I've been in the business 40 years.
40 years?
I should be able to do this event twice.
You should be more successful. 40 years.
Wow.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you.
That's, you know
where's
what?
It being, where's it being held?
That is a good question.
He's on his way, but he doesn't know where.
Well, you know, I kind of take things here.
You're so funny.
Well, here's the thing. There's so much going on. You've got a lot going on in your life.
Oh, no, nothing.
Yeah, I've got a lot going on in my life. Things have been so busy. I really have to take things like a day at a time. And so... I got a call from someone. We were in the car together. Someone called me. Hey, next week, are you doing this thing? And you heard me say to her, I haven't even focused on it. I've got so much out, so yeah. I don't know.
Well,
that's
probably
a week
had
away.
Email to answer. You had dry cleaning to pick up. I know your life. I know your life. But by the way,
I'm just looking to see where the event is. I'm going to be there.
Let me just ask you a question. How late were you picking me up this morning?
Oh, please.
How
it's
late?
Traffic. It's traffic.
Why don't you leave
it's
earlier?
It's not my fault.
Every week, you know what? Every time I'm down here to do the show, he picks me up at the hotel and he says, you're not going to believe it. There was traffic and road construction.
So
and
right.
I say, well, that seems to be every time I'm down here. Why don't you leave earlier?
You're absolutely right. I should, because it does happen every week. So, but in my head, I don't know if it's optimism or stupidity. At home, I think.
Can I answer that? No, I'm not going to.
At home, I think, all right, this is should take 30 minutes. And that's what I allow. And it never takes 30 minutes.
It doesn't. I mean, you want it to, but on a Saturday, when they really shouldn't be doing construction work all over Washington, they are.
Well, you know, when they can't do it during the week.
They should do it when it's convenient for us.
Well, they should do it overnight. When I was
that's
younger,
what they used to do.
That's what they used to do, but now I bet it costs too much.
I'm sure that the crews are way more expensive working in the middle of the
sure.
night now.
Overtime and all that kind of thing. So anyway, I ran into three construction zones, so my apologies about
it's
that.
It's the only difference between us.
What?
Except maybe some other things that people might notice looking at us. But it's the only difference between us is that I'm, you know,
I'm always early. Yes.
Yeah. And
you're going to say I'm always late. And
well,
I don't like that. I don't like being late.
You're late a lot. Yeah.
I
mean, I don't know if it's habitual. But
it's not. It's my fault in that you're right. I should allow more time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not my fault in that I'm not putzing around the house and leaving late, like, you know, my wife is usually late.
Yes.
And that's because she doesn't get out the door when she should.
Well, it's because is she putzing?
I don't know that she would say she's putzing.
I can't believe that you used the Jewish expression.
I like Jewish expressions.
Yeah, well, do you know what a putz is?
Oh, is it not good?
It's not. Well, it is good, but it's between your pants.
Oh.
That's what it is.
That's what a putz is?
Yes, it is.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well,
I had no idea.
You've probably used that expression quite a lot for the wrong things.
Well, you know, this is interesting because
you're putzing around, but it means
you're vatting around.
That's where it came from.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But you know, expressions sort of, they crop up, but you have to know what the origin is if you're going to use it.
So would, your guest just stood up while we were doing that and appeared to be adjusting his slacks.
I think so, yeah,
underwear.
Because, right? You know what? When you talk about this, things tighten up.
Well, I think his putz just came up.
Oh, okay.
I thought he was leaving. I thought he was
offended. I think if it just came out, it's not going to make much of an impression. He's older.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, boy.
To answer your question.
Keep putzing around. Go ahead.
To answer your question, or Rob's question, whoever it asked, the Emmy Awards are tonight. At the Bethesda Marriott, and I can't wait to be there. It's closed to the public, so don't try to come in. But
yeah, I won't try to come in. I wasn't invited.
Actually, maybe it's not closed, but I'm sure it's sold out by now.
Oh, I bet it is.
Yeah. I'd hope so.
Yeah, I hope so, too.
What if I stood there with my nose pressed against the window?
You'd break the window.
That's the only time you will get a setup. So enjoy it.
All right.
I knew what I was doing.
Yeah, there you go. Let me ask one more question about putts.
Oh, yes, please, go ahead.
Because, so, if that's what it means,
yes.
Can you not say it on TV? Because there are certain things that most of us don't really know exactly what they mean, but would the censor say, no, you can't say putzing
no,
around?
No, I think you could get away with it. I don't think you could say I'm d***ing around.
No, you could not.
Probably not. I'm not sure we can say it on the podcast, so we'll see what Rob does with it.
Yeah, Rob is making a note, so
yeah,
I suspect
right now. Line number whatever. Gary said,
All right, you want it to,
well, you know where this came from. Go ahead, you set it up.
So, was it last week? Last week we talked about, was the big celebrity show in terms of all the celebrity encounters, and we had someone call in. We've had some other people write us again, so we'll get to some of those in a future episode.
And I did one from the Savoy,
which you asked for.
And after we were done with the show, I said, oh, yeah, there's another one from the Savoy, but, you know, I didn't get to it. And that was it.
Rob, this is crazy, because he told us the Savoy story about John Belushi, and we were like, why don't you tell that on the air?
Fantastic story.
So then afterwards, there's another one.
Yeah.
And you only gave me a name. You didn't tell me the story.
I did not tell you the story.
So I'd like to hear the story.
Would you like me to tell it now?
I suspect it's worthy.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, the name's a big name.
You have an hour?
No.
It won't take that long. Okay, so, you know, the good news at the Savoy is that every major star played it. And Roy Orbison played the Savoy.
Mm-hmm.
And this was like an example of, well, maybe a little bit crazy, but the consummate professional. I couldn't believe this. I'm backstage.
Mm-hmm. We're talking the 80s again?
Yeah, this is 1980.
Yeah.
1980.
Okay.
So Roy Orbison, he's not a kid, you know, not old. I don't think he had done the Katie Lang thing yet. You know, remember?
I don't think, not yet.
They did Crying, and it was a huge hit.
Because he had a resurgence. He had a resurgence in the 80s.
Yeah, it might have been before. I don't remember.
Okay.
We'll know at some point because Rob will find it.
Right.
So anyway, it's the Roy Orbison show. And he's out there. He's doing all of his big hits, all the Monument Records stuff, you know. And he looks like he's having an amazing time. But at intermission, he happens to mention to somebody that at the moment he's passing a gallstone. And he said, matter-of-factly, I'm probably in the worst pain I've ever been in my life.
Oh, my goodness.
And they said, well, Roy, you know, maybe we need to stop. You want to stop? He goes, no, 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 I'm doing a show.
Wow.
And we said, wait, 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 you're passing a gallstone? He said, yeah, I can tell. I can tell. It's not the first time it's happened. I'm in excruciating pain, but I got a lot of songs to do.
Wow.
And we said, well, wait, 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 wait. I mean, what do you, you know, do you want? No, 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 no. I got it a full house. I'm not going to disappoint my fans.
Wow.
So he said, but do me a favor. Do me a favor. Would you call an ambulance and have it standing by? Because at the end of the show, I'm going to need to go to the hospital.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, there was another hour left. And we said, well, there's no way he's going to make that hour.
Right.
So he, we asked him a few more times. Are you sure you want to do this? You know, we can get somebody else to go on, you know. And no, 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 no. It's my show. I'm going to go out there. My fans are expecting it. He did probably the greatest hour performance. I'd seen him before. He was he's jumping up and down on stage. I'm thinking, are you trying to pass
he
that
was
now?
Probably trying to get it out.
Yeah, exactly. from his putts.
Right.
So anyway, so I think this is just the most amazing thing in the world. He really is the
is fantastic.
The consomme professional.
The consomme professional.
And so he comes off the end of the show. He's waving at the audience. They're all standing. He's getting a standing ovation. He goes off, and the ambulance is outside the door. The paramedics are in the backstage area ready to take him. And they're all screaming. You know, the audience is screaming.
Right.
And he goes, okay, wow, okay, all right, not yet. What do you mean not, Roy? What do you mean not yet? He goes, I got to do an encore. He goes, they're waiting for the encore. We said, no, you don't have to do the encore
right,
tonight,
right,
you know?
Right, right.
He goes, no, I've never done a show without an encore.
Wow.
He goes back out on stage, he does the encore, and then they put him on a gurney and they wheel him to the hospital. And we find out that he did, in fact, before morning, pass a gallstone.
That's fantastic.
Yay!
Not the passing of the gallstone, but the putting on the show. And yeah, I always liked him. And
you like him even more with the gallstone?
Well, I have even more respect for him.
Isn't that amazing?
It's great. It's great. And you know what? It speaks to, listen, when you grew up during a certain era and you've achieved a lot of your dreams and you're the consummate professional and all that kind of stuff, you stick with it as best you can and you try to do it. Some people wimp out now.
There are a lot of people who give themselves a lot of leeway to say, you know what, I gave them what I was going to give them,
right,
and that's it. You know,
right.
Or they shorten their sets. We used to have that too.
Sure.
Where people would just do a short set because they didn't feel like doing more.
Yeah. I watch a lot of the NFL channel because Connor loves football. And all, and I love it too, but you see a lot of stories about these old guys who played in the 60s and 70s and how tough they were and how they would play, you know, they'd have a broken leg or something and continue to play.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas now, you know, I mean, okay, I'm not talking about concussions because that's a serious thing. You want to protect yourself. But now people come out for the lamest reason sometimes. We've got a stubbed toe or whatever.
Well, there's also something that happens now that never used to happen. What artist of Roy Orbison's era ever made his crowd wait? Like, you got people now who will make you wait an hour and a half because they feel like they should, right?
Right.
It's, you know, I'm a big star. Yeah. I can make you wait for me.
Yeah.
I don't think those guys ever showed up late.
No, that's a little, that's a little crazy.
Yeah.
Well, good for him. That's great. Can I tell you a little something about Roy Orbison?
Sure.
I guess I'm not that embarrassed because I'm about to tell you, but this is weird. I think of
myself. Did you have an encounter?
No, I didn't have an encounter, but.
Casual encounter.
No. I thought for the longest time, in fact, I think I thought until his resurgence in the mid-80s when he was out and about again and all over the place, I thought he was blind.
Well, because he never showed up anywhere without those dark glasses.
Those dark glasses, and I thought he was blind.
Uh-huh.
And then I forget how I think there's a special that he did. Maybe it was the Black and White Night. That's a special that he did like in 86 or 87. Maybe there's a scene in there where he's backstage talking to everybody and he doesn't have his glasses on.
Right.
And, you know, he's just looking around and they're interacting. I was like, oh my God, he can see.
Yeah, I think it just became part of the image,
you
know, but he was in fact deaf and had a lot of flatulence. So...
You giveth and you taketh away.
I do. But I have a lot of respect for that man after that night.
Oh, absolutely.
I have a lot of respect.
That's great. That's great.
The Tony Perkins Show, featuring Gary Stein.
Listen, we are 20 minutes in. I feel a little guilty because, again, you have someone here who's being very polite. He seems to be enjoying the show.
Yes.
But he's not saying anything.
No.
We don't know who he is.
He's a mute.
He's a mute. Wow. You got a lot of friends and stories about people with disabilities.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. There's a trend here. No. Listen, the reason that he's been quiet the whole time is because this is going to be revolutionary. I just didn't want to blow anything. I wanted to give him a chance to really reveal. Look, here's the thing. I was your producer for a very, very long time.
Yes.
My job was to be a problem solver.
Yes.
In a lot of, right?
That's
Take that lesson, Rob Ford. Your job as a producer is to be a problem solver. And basically, you are one.
Yeah,
so
yes, I'm not,
I have,
hey,
I have,
Tony, I need to talk to you after the show. Solve a problem.
I have no crap to give you, so be careful, all right? We can always change that. Anyway, so my job is to be a problem solver. There's been a problem revealed on this show that was absolutely gigantic. It was huge. It was a very big problem. So what I did is I scoured the country.
Okay.
And I found the only person in the country, literally, that can solve this problem.
Oh, wow.
There's
okay.
no one else.
No one, just one person.
I'm only going to say this. A lot of people have tried.
Okay.
A lot of people have made money on trying.
Okay.
I brought today the only person in the country that is the problem solver, and I'm going to let him introduce himself. Are you excited?
I'm very excited.
Rob, are you excited?
I can't wait.
Special guest, like I've got a secret. Sign in, please.
Well, hello there. My name is Larry, and I'm the owner and the president of the Billion Hair Club. I'm a professional hairologist. Mr. Perkins, I'm going to be working with you today. And Mr. Stein, I'm looking at the back of your head. I might have to help you out today.
Oh, wow. That's not why I booked you, Doc. That's not why I booked you.
Well, doctor. I'm just a man who likes to help out when I can.
Well, we appreciate that.
Thank you.
I did bring you in for Mr. Perkins.
I'll start with Mr. Perkins, then I will start with him. I have to say, huge fan of the show.
Oh, thank you.
Love what you do.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you,
Dr. Larry.
Thank you, Doctor.
And I have to say, I don't know if you caught the name Billion Hair.
Billion Hair.
Hair Club. It's
yes.
a little play on words
yes.
I came up with. That.
Oh, because I'm a billionaire.
Absolutely. Oh. Again, I felt like we had a connection
you
right off
listen.
The bat
That's
there.
Very
yeah.
good. Very good.
Well, in all seriousness here, I was so moved when you courageously talked about your hair problem.
Thank you very much. It was tough to
I
do.
Was very, very moved by it.
Thank you.
I had to come in and do something about it, and I think I can solve your problem. 3 to 4 business days, you will look like a chia pet.
Wow, that's pretty fast.
That's all it'll take? Three or four days?
3 to 4 days. Well, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Do you only want hair on the top of your head?
I want it on the back.
Back.
Yeah, the back and the top.
Any other portion of the body?
No.
No, just the head.
Just the head.
Three to four business days.
That's fair. Now, can we shoot higher than a chia pet? Because I would
French poodle maybe. you name it. You tell me the look you want. I'm there for you.
Now, doctor, can I say one thing? Because when the doctor came in and I was trying to figure out who this is.
Yeah.
I almost mentioned this that he has a lovely head of hair.
Yeah, thank you very much.
So yeah.
Thank you very much.
But not always.
Two years ago, I too was losing my hair.
Really?
I used the specialized process that I've developed on myself and. Your millions of fans out in podcast land cannot see it, but I think you will both attest the fact that I have a very nice head of hair.
Yes, you do.
Beautiful head of hair.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Yes.
2 years ago, a lot of scalp showing up there. A lot of scalp. So I am living proof. I'm advertising for what I can do.
Wow. Okay. Well, tell me, do you need to look at my head? Should I turn around?
No.
No?
No.
You don't even need to look
at me. I'd rather not, if I could possibly avoid it.
Okay.
All right.
What do you think you can do for me? What is the process involved?
Well, it's a two-part process.
Okay.
First, I have specialized follicles.
Okay.
That I have. I can't disclose. Well, maybe I can disclose from where I get them.
I think you can.
Okay. The process was. This is a little long, but it's very important as far as the whole story goes.
Okay.
I went out into nature and I dealt with animals. And tried to find the most luxurious, the most beautiful pelt that I could find.
Okay.
I tried small animals. I tried large animals. I worked with all of them. Who knew that mooses had intimacy problems? They cannot stand to be touched. I didn't realize that.
Wow. Now,
a llama has incredible fur, but have you ever had any kind of interaction with a llama?
I've seen llamas, yes.
They smell, they step on your feet, and they spit.
They spit. Yes, they do.
That was a deal breaker.
That's a deal breaker
for me when they spit.
So you were getting very close to the animals.
Oh, well, close is not the adjective I would use. But I settled on a particular animal that I think I can reveal it.
Okay.
It has some upsides and it has some downsides, as all things in life do.
Sure, sure.
I use the pelt of a skunk.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Oh,
no,
yes.
No.
Yeah. Oh, it's absolutely spectacular fur. Absolutely. Now, I can't go into how I actually attach the follicles to your head.
So you remove the actual follicles from the skunk.
I shaved the skunk.
Okay.
And skunks are pretty amazing little creatures when you actually get to know them. I have several skunks now.
How did you get to know them?
I actually lived with a pack of wild skunks for several years.
Really?
Absolutely true. It was very difficult. My wife did not quite understand why I was living with a pack of wild skunks.
Mm-hmm.
But that's another story. I shaved the skunks, tested their fur. It works magnificently. And now, those little rascals, they shave themselves. They shave themselves. They bring the fur to me.
Wow,
it's incredible.
You may have revolutionized a number of different areas, not just
well, interaction with animals is a whole other story that I'd like to tell, but at another time.
Okay, can I ask one quick question?
Certainly, by all means.
With the llamas, they spit. They step on you.
Yes, they smell.
With the moose. Problems with intimacy. They don't want you to get too close.
Exactly.
Skunks, you know, they spray you. They stink.
Yes.
How did you get around that?
I got sprayed a lot.
Oh.
I just stunk a lot for a long period of time. I really smelled very badly. But then you get used to it. And, you know, they're skunks, so they smell
bad. What do you suggest
too
for your clients, though? How does it work for your clients? Because they're wearing skunk hair, right?
As I said, there's upsides and there's downsides. The upside is 3 to 4 business days, full head of hair.
Right.
Downside, if you get excited, you're going to smell like a skunk.
That's a tough one. That's a big downside.
So you can never get excited again? I mean, you can't get anxious or anything? Is that what happens? You'll spray?
It's up to you.
You'll just start spraying?
Yes.
This is one of the problems with hair treatment, medicines, and techniques.
Mm-hmm.
The typical man, you know, one of the reasons we want a nice, rich head of hair is so that we are appealing to
women.
To women, that's right. And my wife, you know, if you're a single man, you want to attract women. But then the side effects of the hair sometimes are things that would turn a woman off. For example, smelling like a skunk.
Well, that's a possible,
would not be good.
Possible turnoff. Yes, that's a possible turnoff. Although,
likely, I
have several other treatments which can help kind of counteract that.
Ah.
Make other portions of the body work a little bit better so that even if you smell like a skunk, you're home free.
Now, can I just say that you, in describing what you just said,
you got it, baby.
You have your
you
hands
got it
apart. I would say that's about 12 inches, 14 inches apart.
Possibly a little bit more.
Okay, so I think I get your drift.
Yes.
Getting the drift, you're smelling something.
Whoa.
I have several skunks in the car, in the Uber car, as we speak.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
Your hair, which is beautiful.
Thank you very much.
It is silver.
Yes.
Yes. Is that skunk hair?
Well, yes, but.
But it's been dyed.
It's been dyed.
Because I would have a large stripe down the center of my head, which could be problematic. Although
yes, you don't want to look like a skunk.
Well, you know, it's kind of a kind of trendsetter if you look at it that way. You know, no, but mine is dyed.
Yours is dyed.
It only lasts for a short period of time, and then the stripe will come back out again.
So in addition to not getting excited, you have to dye your hair every few weeks, periodically.
Yes, okay. Or you look like Donald Trump, because he has skunk hair also.
Does he really?
Yes, he was one of my early clients.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. We are learning. Give us a ding. We're learning something.
One of my
here.
Early clients.
I knew something had happened to his hair.
Yeah.
I didn't know what.
Wow.
He was losing his hair, and he was desperate, and I stepped in, and I think it turned out pretty well.
Well,
he needs to dye it a little more regularly.
Yeah, and he should shift the combing.
Yes,
That's a strange thing he's doing.
Well, I can't control that. I can't control what they do with style after I give them the skunk
right,
hair.
Right, right. Okay.
Yeah. Some people use a pompadour, which I prefer. I think that looks a little bit better.
What would you recommend for me? Now, let me ask you a question.
Another question. All right.
Okay.
I probably will have the answer. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. As you see, I'm African American.
You are.
Yes.
Yes, I see that.
I didn't notice.
My hair is...
I thought you had a nice tan, but...
My hair is curlier.
Curly, yes.
It's a different kind of hair.
No problem.
And I don't typically see skunks with afros.
This is true. This is very, very true.
So what would we do?
Luckily, I have bred some skunks for different races. So I have African-American skunks. I have Middle Eastern skunks. Depending, I have a client. I have a client who is dating a woman from Romania, and she likes hair on his back.
Yes.
So I have a skunk that specializes in back hair. His back looks like an alpaca sweater. So that's not a problem. I've had to deal with that because I've had African American before.
Doc, that was the breeding process to get these different varieties of hair.
I'm very disturbed by what's going on.
None of this. My little friends, my skunk friends, none of them have been in any way injured during the entire process.
Okay, they're not forced into situations.
No. Well, very early on, I explained the whole situation to them, and they feel that they're doing something good for humanity. skunks get a very bad rap.
Uh-huh.
You know, they need a better PR company because they just. People don't like skunks because of the smell.
Yeah,
and they're aware of it. They're aware of the fact that it's a problem.
Doc, can I bring something up? Because I think that you're sort of, there's a skunk in the room. That you're burying. I haven't heard anything about price.
Price?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's kind of important here, really.
Yes, it is.
It's, you know, it's always...
And especially if one of your clients is Donald Trump.
Price was no object with him, obviously.
Right.
Well, he's another billionaire like Tony.
Right. I didn't want to say that, but thank you for bringing it up.
You should know I'm not a billionaire. Gary likes to say that.
Well,
it's not true.
Fine. We'll figure that out later. it normally is $6,000 for the treatment.
Wow.
But because I am such a fan of the show, and because you don't want hair on any other part of your body, just on your head.
Right.
$29.99 for you today. Today, and today only. No ups, no extras. That's it.
Really?
That's it. You got to go right now, though.
$30.
Because I got the skunks in the car.
It's hot outside, too.
Yeah.
I cracked the window a little bit. Okay. And Aaron, the Uber driver, is watching them.
Okay.
But
okay.
I have several other clients who are dying for that skunk hair. So $29.95 right now, you got to say yes, and we're done.
Boy. How long does the procedure take? Do you...
About 15 minutes.
That can't be very good. it seems like it should take longer than that.
Well, but if he says
I could do it slower. if you would like, I could do it slower. 45 minutes. I take it back. It's 45 minutes.
I could put on In a Gutta DeVita. We could play it in its entirety, and by the time the song's over, you could be a new man.
He seems very flexible, too, about the whole process.
A little too flexible.
Yeah.
Let me see. Okay. Can I think about it?
No.
No, I can't think about it. All right. I'll tell you what.
Again, I have the skunks in the car right now. They're ready to go.
Yeah.
They have shaved. They have their little pelts. They're cute little feet.
Are they the African American skunks?
Yes.
Yes.
I anticipated this question. I brought the African American. They shaved.
Okay.
They're ready to go. Their little feet will climb up the stairs. I'll bring it right here, and we'll get down to business.
You know what?
Is the money too? Is it too much?
No.
I could lower the price.
It's too little.
I could raise the price.
Well, no. You seem like Dr. Larry. You seem like a fine man.
Thank you.
And
I'm a huge fan.
Thank
Remember,
you.
I am a huge fan of the show.
I completely appreciate you coming down here, and Gary, you know.
I did my best.
Yes, you did. I think, and I feel bad because you did come a long way.
Don't feel bad for me, but the skunks in the car yes. are going to be very disappointed.
Well, let me say this. You're new to Washington, D.C., right?
I am, yes. First time here.
There are a lot of bald black guys here. So
thanks for pointing that out to me. I appreciate it. Could you give me a couple of names?
I will. Here's what I'll do. Just ask the Uber driver to take you to an area where you'll find a lot of bald black men.
Just he'll know?
He'll know. He'll
okay, great.
Know.
Thanks.
He might not take you, but he'll tell
well,
you
do they
together.
Do they tend to hang together?
I don't know, but we'll find out.
Are they afraid of skunks?
I don't think so.
Good. All right.
So thank you so much, Doctor.
It's been a pleasure
for coming by.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Really appreciate it.
And if I change my mind, I'll call you back.
Well, you know where to reach me.
Yes. Dr. Larry.
Oh, boy. Well.
That is funny stuff. That is funny stuff. All right. Can we...
I love the fact that you commented when I straightened my putts.
All right. We have to say, obviously, Dr. Larry is our Gary's longtime good friend, who you've heard on the show before as Dr. Lionel Brunswick. Sam Agrafia is here with us.
He's in the studio today.
Exactly.
You're fantastic. You were fantastic.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. So funny.
I feel like we're old pals because we've done this kind of long distance, so it's great to see you guys like in the flesh right here in front of me.
Yeah.
The wild thing is that you and Tony have never met, which is so crazy because my lives have come together. This is so weird.
Is it weird?
So, it's weird, but great. You know, I mean, I don't know if everybody would like share their worlds. I told you that I wanted to bring mine together because I spent years trying to get arrested with him.
Right.
Now I'm spending years trying to get arrested with you.
That's right. That's right.
And is there a trend here?
Yes. Yes, there is. And so, I'm the one setting it, which is not good.
It is a little, sometimes it's strange, you know, because we all have best friends, numerous best friends, and they frequently come from different parts of your life and different worlds and all of that. And you're never really sure. You know, do I mix them? Will they get together?
Right,
will they get along and all that kind of stuff? So we'll have to see how this goes. But Sam, I will say this. I've heard about you for years since I first met Gary. I've actually seen your work when you guys used to do the Sal and Junior thing, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But and then to have you on the show the couple of times where you called in, oh my God, it's so funny. So I feel like I know you
too. Well, thank you very much.
And it's a pleasure.
My hair wasn't silver at that point.
No.
But it does look good.
Well, thank you. For skunk hair, it's not bad.
So let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Like with what we just did, maybe we should explain to the listeners, I don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
I come in, Gary says, you know, Sam is going to be here. We've got something we're going to do, and that's it.
Yeah, that's all you know.
So how much of that is improv? How much of it have you written beforehand? You know, because you don't know what I'm going to say or what I'm going to ask, how I'm going to react.
Well, we talked on the phone.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, kind of when we were writing together in L.A., at least for me.
Sam and I were writing partners for, over a decade?
I mean, we were
very long time.
If it made us laugh, we went, okay, that's funny. That's good.
Right.
That's okay. We'll keep that in. And that's kind of what we did on the phone. I said to him, okay, what do you think is funnier? Hair transplant or some kind of salve to put on his head or some kind of fur from an animal.
Right.
And we kind of went back and forth and we kind of said, okay, animal fur.
Right.
And then Gary said, how about a skunk? And I was like, a skunk is funny. And then I didn't get in my favorite line, which was, have you ever seen a bald skunk? You know, sometimes they get a little, the hairline recedes a little, they get a little, you know, a little bear in the back, but they're never bald.
Right. No, that's right.
Yeah.
So that's work.
That was kind of how it went. We kind of went back and forth and kind of, I have, you know, a few notes here
right.
in case I couldn't think of it. If somebody, like you asked me a question, I'm like, hamana.
But you're very, you don't, you know, I asked one question and you laughed, which was nice, but you're very quick So let me, you guys, let's set the stage. We've talked about this a little bit before.
Yeah.
You met in L.A.
Right.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. You both were...
Actors doing a play. That was how we met.
Can I tell you something about that play?
Yeah.
I'd like to
preface this by saying, I always come off as the bad guy in this story.
Yeah, but
now you're here in person.
But you know why? Because there's a reason. So So, okay, so I had just gotten to L.A. and I was going to just sort of look around. Uh-huh. I wound up looking around for 13 years. Mm-hmm. But when I got out there, I read somewhere that a play was, that they were looking for a character in a play and there was an audition. So mm-hmm. I went to the audition and I got the part. I find out that somebody had the part, but he left and rehearsals had already begun, but they had just begun. Mm-hmm. So I go to my first day of rehearsal for this play that I'm going to be in. And you know me, right? Okay, mm-hmm. So I walk in and I say, "Hi, everybody. I'm Gary. I'll be playing the role of Harry in the show." And, you know, people are generally nice.
Right, right.
I walk up to him and I say, "Hi, my name is Gary. And why don't you just answer me? Hi, my name is Gary. What's your name?"
"Sam."
"Hi, Sam. What do you play in the show?"
"None of your business."
Okay. So really? So I walk away and I think, what an asshole. I hate him. And the play took place in a restaurant and everybody sat at these little tables and I thought, I hope to God I don't have to talk to this guy.
And you know where this story is going.
So the director says, "Gary, the role of Harry is at that table. There are only two people at that table, me and one other jerk." And I sit next to Sam and I look at him like this and I go, "Hi, my name is Gary."
Wow.
And he's like, "Oh my God." But this is the worst play anybody ever did. Yes. Mm-hmm. Ever. Mm-hmm. And so he and I start saying to each other during the play, we were trying to be in character. We're supposed to whisper mm-hmm. the whole time. So we're staying in character. Mm-hmm. You know, "Well, I hope that happens soon." "Yes, me too. I hope it happens soon." The play's so bad that pretty soon he and I are saying, "Why does the person in the front row always have to be a big fat pig?"
Yeah.
What do you want to do? Do you want to get a bite after the show? "Yeah, but do we have to go to the same place?" Whoa. I hear my cue coming up. And I would get up, I'd do a monologue, and I'd come back and I'd say, "What do you think?" He goes, "Oh, yeah, it was better last night, but it was pretty good, you know?" And
this is all true.
Yeah.
This is all true.
I love this.
And we just started hanging out, and Sam told me that he is a writer, and I said, "Well, I don't write at all." He said, "Well, you know, I've been writing some stuff. Why don't we try writing a little bit if you feel like it?"
Mm-hmm.
Well, we became full-time writing partners.
Wow.
And
wow.
We ended up writing some characters, Sal mm-hmm. and Junior.
Yes.
We ended up getting a development deal at Universal mm-hmm. based on the characters. They hired writers to write the pilot.
Okay.
The pilot was awful. The producers knew it was pretty awful. And they said, "Why don't you guys punch it up?"
Okay.
And literally, I went to Samuel French on Hollywood Boulevard and bought a book on formatting because
we didn't know what we were doing.
I didn't know how to format a television script.
I've done that. I took a screenwriting class yeah. years ago and bought the, I forget who the book was by. It's the Bible
yes,
of screenwriting.
Exactly.
Sid Abel, maybe, I think. Or
David
like.
Somebody
yeah,
or other.
Right,
yeah,
right,
no, and
right.
that was it. So we turned in pages at Universal and they said, "Oh, this is not bad. This is pretty funny. Maybe you should write a little bit more of it." And by the time we were finished with the process, we ended up getting a shared writing credit on the pilot.
They mm-hmm. bought us our Writers Guild cards.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
And that was,
and we were now professional writers and actors.
And we both
actors.
Looked at each other and went, "You know, we could probably do this, I think."
Right,
you know,
right.
"Do you think we're funny?" "I think we're funny. I don't know. Do you think we're funny?" And that was how it started.
But we started taking Sal and Junior around to all of the scene showcases.
Yeah.
And every time we did it, we were put under a development deal for a pilot to star us. And I would, and this is no
which,
exaggeration.
Which is, we're still waiting for that to happen.
We had.
I'm gonna be Sal's grandfather.
yeah. Exactly. Sal and Junior have urinary problems.
But exactly. See, this is, here's what, well, go ahead.
I was just going to say that we really had 10 development deals at various studios and production companies. And if there's any way to lose money as actors, we always figured it out.
Right.
So all we did was spend money on our lawyers to make sure that the deals were perfect.
Right. And take our wives out
for dinner
to celebrate our development deals,
right.
which cost our entire option money was the dinner.
And so it never happened, right. you know. And ultimately, I think I've told you this story. Like when we were absolutely sure that one show was going to shoot where we were Joe Piscopo's co-stars on a sitcom
mm-hmm.
as Sal and Junior, we wrote all our own material.
Mm-hmm.
We were about a week away from production and the whole thing got canceled. And Sam and I went outside of our offices at Universal. We sat on a bench across from the commissary,
right.
and we didn't talk for an hour. It's that we weren't mad at each other.
Right.
I just couldn't speak.
Right.
We've been through this so many times. And at one point, I turned to Sam and I said, "I'm done. I can't do this again. And he goes, no, wait. You, and I'm the one who's usually optimistic.
Right,
he's like,
right.
You know, there's no glass right. half empty, and, you know. And I said, no, I'm telling you, I can't walk into another office with a picture, a resume, and a smile
right.
and do this. And he said, look, I know how you feel. I feel the same way. You'll feel differently tomorrow. I'll feel differently tomorrow. And that was the day that I gave up acting.
Wow.
Well, we were at Universal signing those things that say that you're an American citizen.
Right.
And that was just when that started.
We got a phone call that said you have to come up to the production office. And, you know, we have like a parking space and we wave hello to the guard when mm-hmm. we drive in because we're like celebrities
yeah,
now. We're
yeah.
like, we're happening.
Right.
And we get up to the office and the producer goes, well, it's not happening.
Wow.
And I think, well, they probably postponed it or, you know, what's,
yeah.
maybe there was costume problems
yeah.
or the set fell down or something. And they said, no, it's done. It's
political.
Over.
There's a political problem with ABC.
Yeah. Right.
And they just said, we'll catch you on the next one.
Because
and we thought, catch you on the next
right.
one.
Here's the fascinating thing about this. And I know you're not exaggerating. It's 10. You had 10 development deals.
There might be more.
There might be more.
We're
than
just
that,
saying
yeah.
10. There might have been more than 10.
We had a conversation about 6 months ago and I was calling. I ran into somebody that we had met in our, and I said, did we have a development deal with her? I think we did. Did she like us?
We lost track.
Wow.
We lost track.
Did she think we were funny? Because we had meetings where you would go in and the producer would bring you to meet somebody that
sure.
they wanted to work with us. And we would do the scene for them
right.
in the office.
Right.
And sometimes there would be huge laughs, but sometimes...
Only once. Well, twice.
Dead silence with people just
jeez.
Staring at us going,
that's very,
what planet are you from?
That is tough.
That didn't
that
happen too often. But.
This is what. Here's what's interesting about this to me, because we all hear about and know about the successful side of Hollywood because we see it.
Yeah. We don't.
Know? Yeah, well, but this is what happens really more times than not.
And we were actually much more successful than most
than some people
are.
Who don't
I mean,
even
yeah,
get the deals.
We almost caught the gold ring 4 or 5 times.
Right.
It just always managed to kind of get away from us.
Right.
But we actually had great meetings and we were in the right offices, and we were, remember, we were represented for about a week and a half by a creative artist?
Oh, yeah. We were with CAA for 10 minutes.
Wow.
They were going to make us big stars,
yeah.
you know? But, well, we had, wow. you know what? We really should write a book because we talked about this last night at dinner.
Mm-hmm.
We should write a book because some of the escapades were ridiculous. And it was always, you know, you don't know of this. I've shown you something more recent that Sam and I did a couple of years ago. Like, what would Sal and Junior be like as old men now?
Mm-hmm.
But really, it started 30 years ago.
Well, so, can you explain Sal and Junior? Because we're kind of, I've seen it. These were characters you two developed.
We created these characters.
And most of these development deals were about a show for these characters.
Yes,
right.
These were two Italian street wise guy Gavones who wanted wine, women, and song and always went home alone.
And mm-hmm. had no talent.
And had mm-hmm. no talent, nothing going for them, and everything was always someone else's fault.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the premises was we owned a shop on Venice Beach called Lucky Dogs,
mm-hmm.
where it was a hot dog stand.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
We wrote the script for that, actually. We wrote the pilot, and
okay.
that was picked up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then it never shot.
Yeah.
And then there was another one where it was a skate shop, surfboard shop. And, of course, we know so much about surfing that that was perfect
I
for us.
I saw it once.
Yeah,
I saw surfing
exactly.
once.
Exactly. That was another premise that never went anywhere. What other ones? We had.
Yeah, but that was picked up at Paramount.
Yeah. No,
and
I,
then,
of
and
course.
And then, you know, Paramount, Fox. We had a deal at MGM. We had a deal everywhere. But we were the most successful people. We knew, but at the same time,
you should write a book.
We were both doing, you know, I guess starred in Remington Steele.
Mm-hmm.
He did a bunch of shows. He was in a pretty good movie with Sean Penn and Timothy Hutton. You were in
the Falcon and the Snowman.
He was in that.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, he was in that movie. I was in a
Stallone
film. You
were on TV shows and stuff.
Yeah.
So you're doing it.
We're doing stuff. We're not making a living.
Not making a living, but you're in that world.
And this thing, you know, every time we did Sal and Junior Go to the Beach. And we got a development deal that was going to take us to the next level.
Gotcha.
But, you know, we were so busy. We used to say this to each other. We were so busy that we had no idea that we were failing.
Right.
Right.
You
right.
know?
I mean, it's sad
we
and
had
funny.
22 meetings a week.
Right.
And that was basically it. We would go to meetings and chat with people. And we got a lot of free lunches, which was nice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, people took us to the Palm
yeah.
to talk about the deal.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I said, well, you know, I'm going to have the lobster salad.
Right.
I know that.
Yeah.
I know that.
Yeah.
I had that the last time we had a deal.
Yeah.
Sal and Junior, if I recall correctly, okay, so you're these characters. as the characters, you all had done something before. Maybe I'm misremembering this.
Well, here's what happened. I wasn't going to go into this, but since you asked for it, here it goes. So the way we decided that this began, which was very organic, Sam said to me, there are a lot of acting companies here in L.A. after we did that awful play. Mm-hmm. Why don't we try to get into an acting company? I'm thinking of auditioning for the Company of Angels, Sam says, and we have to do a scene. So he said, I was thinking of a scene from Sexual Perversity in Chicago by David Mamet.
David Mamet, yes.
So I said, well, all right, I'll do that with you. So we learn the scene, we go and we do it, and we both get into the Company of Angels. Mm-hmm. Now it's the first acting company I've joined, and we have to pay dues. Mm-hmm. So we have to pay for the privilege of acting, which became the story of our career. And then he said, what about Theater West? Why don't we get into Theater West?
So we could pay more money to act. So we weren't paying quite enough to one company.
So we go and do Sexual Perversity in Chicago for Theater West, and they take us in, and we got more money we have to pay. But then we realized, why don't we do the scene showcases where producers, directors, and casting directors come, and we started doing Sexual Perversity in Chicago everywhere. But what happened was, the characters started to change without us even meaning them to. You know, in Sexual Perversity in Chicago, they were nothing like Sal and Junior. Mm-hmm. But we started to do these other guys. Mm-hmm. And as we did these other guys, how pretentious is it to think that we were going to improve on David Mamet?
Right.
but suddenly, David Mamet's lines didn't apply to what he and I were doing.
So you're doing something
and
different.
I would say about a year later, there were no David Mamet lines left. We renamed it Sal and Junior Go to the Beach, and we started doing it, and we got one deal after another. Now, I got to tell you something. He doesn't know this. So we did the beach scene. We haven't done the beach scene in 25, how long, Sam?
Jesus. 30 years.
30 years. Okay, 30 years. You know, we started when I was like 28 years old. Mm-hmm. I think Sam was 30. He's
I was 17.
He's much older than I am. Much, much older. He can hardly walk now, you know. Sal and Junior
That's why
used
I'm
walkers.
Sitting down for this entire time.
Exactly, yeah. And he's got colitis and all sorts of problems.
I want to give people a little quick visual cue as you're listening. You're trying to picture Sam. Sam, you've got a Burt Reynolds thing going on.
He always heard that.
The brown mustache. Yeah.
He used to hear that if Burt Reynolds ran into Richard Benjamin, that's what he looked like.
That's a good description.
I'm on the beach in Malibu. I'm walking along, and a couple who are obviously tourists come up to me, and they go, my favorite year, greatest movie ever made. And I'm looking at him, and I go, yeah, I like it too. And they're like, no, that is the all-time greatest movie. And then I realize they think I'm Richard Benjamin. And I don't know if I should be an asshole and go, okay, thanks. Yes, I am Richard Benjamin. Or if I should say, I'm not really Richard Benjamin. Right. You look kind of silly now. So, I go, thanks. Sure, great. Thank you very much. I'll tell Paul Apprentice.
That's great.
Anyway, yeah, I got a lot. I went to Disneyland, and the guy said, are you? Oh, the funniest is I'm doing an acting job. This is about 3 years ago. George Segal and Richard Benjamin are working on the same show that I'm working
on. My goodness.
And I show up at the makeup trailer, and I'm going in to get my makeup, and the guy goes, you're not supposed to be here.
Oh, my goodness.
And I say, yes, I am. And of course, then the actor's insecurity kicks in. You go, did I have the wrong day? Did I show up on the wrong set? He's like, you're not on this set. And then he looks at me and goes, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. You're not Richard Benjamin.
Oh, my goodness.
He was going to scream at Richard Benjamin?
Right.
You were okay to yell at Richard Benjamin. I don't get that.
I think, I don't want to say anything, but we'll move on to the next topic.
That's funny. All right, so I interrupted you, Gary.
Well, no, I was going to say this. This could be very, very dangerous. So last night, just as an exercise.
Oh, no, I don't. Oh,
you be quiet. You be quiet, okay?
I have to leave. I'll see you guys later. It's been great meeting you.
Well, you don't even know what I'm going to say.
I know you too well.
All right. Well, then I'm going to say it, and you tell me if this is what you knew I was going to say.
I can tell you beforehand.
I want to hear. I want to see if he knows. What? He's known you forever. What?
I'm going to be very quiet now, which is the first time. Go ahead.
He's obviously going to say we're going to do Sal and Junior here.
Is that right?
Well, I was... Okay, here's what I was going to say. As an exercise, wanted to see... Look, we did it 1,000 times, right?
But I'm senile and I have the brain cells.
I know. And, and also, we could never get through anything and you'd have to pee first.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So I know.
I'd have to sweat and then pee.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I know you're not used to this, but can I talk?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Well, can I interrupt for 1 second?
Yes. Yeah.
Sal and Junior are extensions of Gary and Sam.
That's what I suspect. Yes.
Gary was always the person that would go, we could go talk to those agents. And I'm like, they're going to throw us out. No. We'll just knock on the door, and they'll think we're funny. And he'd knock on the door and go in, and sure enough, every goddamn time. Oh, can I say that?
That's fine.
Every time he would see some poster for a movie or some guy had a New York Mets hat. Oh, Mets fan, huh? I'm a Yankee fan. And they'd be off to the races.
Yeah,
and I'd be
Gary.
Well, okay.
That's Gary.
just start talking.
Right. Yeah, well, we got the job, so what am I going to complain about?
So my exercise last night was, let me see how much of the beach scene I can remember. And I wrote the whole beach scene.
Wow.
And I just happened to print out a copy for you.
This is great.
I thought you might like to see the beach scene.
This is great.
And then I wondered
if... 900 pages long.
Well, no, you know why? Because I know that you're getting older.
So it's like big type.
It's 24 point for Sam. Well,
when I go to the library, I get the books now with the big print. So like first I can see it, and second of all, I feel like I've read a real lot.
Now I have no idea whether or not we can actually do it, and I have no idea if it's actually going to be funny. But I just thought, it's our podcast. We can do whatever we want, right. And because we have Rob Ford, if it sucks, it's gone.
All right, fine.
Yeah.
So this is Sal and Junior
go
at
to the beach.
Beach. Go to the
Sal
beach.
Sal and Junior go to the beach.
This is
and,
the scene.
And it goes something like this.
Who is Sal and who is Junior?
You'll see in a second.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you. I'm Anthony Junior Carmelo, and he is Salvatore Sirico.
Gotcha. Do you need any intro music or anything?
Anything would help.
I have a harmonica.
No.
You've heard that. That's right.
What we used to play sometimes before doing it was Louis Prima singing "I'm Just a Gigolo."
Yeah. I'm just a gigolo.
Everywhere I go.
Yeah, David Lee Roth sang that too. But of course, you would use the Louis Prima version. Let's see if Rob can. Rob, can you find it? Louis Prima, P-R-I-M-A.
Rob can find anything.
Just a gigolo, and then what we'll do? So that would start the thing.
Yeah. Okay. Sometimes, but I mean, we didn't have any stuff with us.
Okay.
You have to picture me with 6 gold chains.
Okay.
With my shirt unbuttoned down about 4 buttons.
And you really don't want to see it.
He's wearing cutoff, usually corduroys.
No, denim shorts.
With black socks.
And black shoes.
Great. Okay.
And a Hawaiian shirt.
All right. So
and the Hawaiian shirt was bright pink.
Mm-hmm.
This is the scene. This is Sal and
Junior go to the beach.
Go to the beach.
And just a gigolo, and everywhere I go, gigolo, people gigolo, know the part gigolo, I'm playing. Gigolo, 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 paid for every dance, gigolo, selling its romance. Gigolo, oh, gigolo, what they see. There will come a day, and youth will pass away.
So, you ready?
Of course I'm ready. What are you asking me if I'm ready for?
Standing there.
I'm waiting for you.
You're waiting for me.
Yeah, I thought you was going to say something.
What am I going to say?
How do I know what you're going to say? Hi,
how are you? Nice to see you.
Hey, good morning.
Okay,
you having a nice day?
Yeah, forget about it.
Come on. Can we go down to the beach? You want to stand here in the parking lot? What do you want to do?
Let's go.
He's standing there.
We've been in the car for 2 hours. Now you want to stand in the beach?
Come on. Let's go down there, for God's sake.
My feet are cooking over here. Stop it.
The guy's nuts over here.
I think this is a good spot, though.
Yeah, this is a good spot. Now, could we go down to the beach?
Am I standing in the sand? I believe I'm at the beach.
You got 5 grains of sand over here. You're in the parking lot.
My feet are cooking over here. They're on fire. You want to go for a stroll?
Oh, excuse me, Mr. Sensitive. You want me to rub your feet? Give you a little rub down?
What are you, a lifeguard? He's a lifeguard. I'm like, I'll make a rescue.
Hey, excuse me. I thought if we got closer, we could see some faces. I guess I'm wrong.
Sand's on fire over here. He wants to go for a stroll.
Look, hey, we got some. You got some nice chairs. You want to sit there? Go ahead, sit there.
You like these chairs?
Yeah, I like these chairs.
What, you don't like these chairs?
These chairs are beautiful. You know, well, why don't we put them in your living room? I can go down to the beach. You're a decorator. Now I know.
Forget about it. Let's go home. Let's go already.
I'm telling you.
Do what you want. I'm going to sit in these chairs.
Yeah, you look tired. Why don't you rest?
Fine. Go for a walk.
You're like an old man.
Oh, please. Go for a walk.
Good.
I'm going to sit here.
Yeah, good. You sit. Go ahead. I'll tell you what I'm going to do, okay? I'm going to sit here for 5 minutes. We ain't going to see no broads. Then we're going to go down to the beach.
Good. Now, can you be quiet?
Oh, quiet? You want quiet? Hello, I'm deaf to you now. What do you say? I don't hear. I'm aggravated over here for no reason. I'm just telling you.
I've been here 2 seconds. I'm a nervous wreck. Stop it.
It's nice here.
Yeah, it's a little hot. You bring some lotion?
Did I what?
Did you bring some lotion?
Yeah, I know what you asked me. You asked me about lotion. What, every week you're going to ask me about lotion?
You don't have any lotion.
Who uses the lotion?
I used a lotion.
So what am I going to bring it for?
I forgot. I thought maybe you had some
so
lotion.
So you can't give me a call, huh?
What, I'm going to call you when I forget the lotion?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
Oh, but it makes sense for you to never have
see,
any,
see,
huh?
You just talk stupid sometimes.
Hey, could you
now,
do me a
why would I call you when I forget the lotion?
I don't know. Could you do me a favor? Could you take care of yourself just one time? That might be nice.
Could I say one thing?
Yeah,
could
please,
I
say yeah, one yes, thing? Please say one
now,
thing. Go ahead.
You know
go
what?
Ahead.
I'm going to be purple. I'm going to go home with a lobster face now. That's all.
Can I say one thing? I don't got nothing to do with this.
You know what? Do me a favor. Go home.
I'm in the car.
Looks good.
Excuse me?
She just, I like the shirt. It looks good.
All right, thank you.
It's pink. It's nice.
You should wear pink once in a while.
What are you trying to say now? You can wear
I'm
pink.
I'm saying you can wear pink once in a while. It looks good.
Are you making a statement? Are you trying to say something?
No.
You're the one who's got a cousin who's a dancer. I don't want to bring this
hey,
up.
Don't say nothing about Carmine. He likes you very much.
I don't want
to
dance with
he
him.
Never asked you to dance,
thank
did he?
God. Thank God I don't want to dance
he's
with him.
He's got sensitivities I don't think you understand.
Artistic tendencies.
He's got artistic tendencies. That's what I'm saying.
Hey.
All right. What?
Hey.
Where is she?
That's all.
Forget about
right
it.
Over there. Huh? That's all.
I don't want to live.
Me neither.
Kill me now.
Get over with.
Oh. Look at this broad. Wait a minute. I know this broad.
You know her?
Yeah. Of course. Hey, get over here. What are you doing? She's turning away. Hey, I love you, but I got to smack you now. Come on, get over here.
You don't know this girl.
I said I know
the
girl.
He thinks he knows everybody. You don't know
this
girl.
Yeah, this is your fault.
This is my fault?
Yeah.
Why is this my fault?
Yeah, we're going to go to the beach, right?
I said that?
Yeah, you said that.
Excuse me.
I said, why don't we give Angela a call?
Angela? She got a bigger mustache than me.
She said if we took her out, she was going to shave first.
You didn't tell me that.
I told you. You don't listen.
No. You didn't say nothing about
not
shaving a mustache.
Listen, I'm telling you.
Forget Angela. Look at that one over there.
I'm not looking now. Forget it. I'm not looking.
Would you look at her?
Where are you looking?
Look over there.
Oh, wait a minute. I didn't see where you were looking.
Good looking.
Oh, she's a goddess.
She's perfection.
Let's talk to this broad.
We gonna talk to her?
Yeah, come on, before she gets away. You go first.
I go first.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Come on. Yeah, and be smooth this time, okay?
You're gonna jump in?
I'm jumping if you're smooth.
Hey!
Yo, baby, I think I love you.
Yeah.
What?
What, is she deaf?
She's gotta be deaf.
You want a hearing aid?
Hey,
what do you need
over
here?
I got your hearing aid right over here.
Right here. Forget about it.
Bitch. Hey, you know something? This girl is nothing. I'm finished with this broad.
Who needs her?
I don't need
Who
this broad.
Who needs her?
All right. You know what we're going to do? We're going to sit here, then we're going to go down.
We go down?
We're going to sit here, then we're going to go down.
That's all.
Forget about it.
There you go.
Yeah, that's great.
Not bad for wow. 30 years.
I could not believe that.
I can't believe it either.
We haven't done that together.
In 30 years.
Yeah. I love the fact that it's like, uh-oh, that's Gary's line.
Yeah, I know.
That's very good, though.
I think we switched lines a few times, but it doesn't matter.
But
you know?
Can't tell, and the rhythm is there and everything. That's really, really
and,
good.
And all we do is yell at each other.
That's
we just
really,
like...
really good.
Thank you.
So about 5 years ago or something, you guys shot something new.
I came out to L.A. to go to a pitch meeting, and every time I go to L.A., I call Sam, and we have lunch or dinner or whatever.
Right.
And we were having lunch, and I said... Now that we're like 105, I said, what do you think Sal and Junior would be doing now? And we both agreed that his wife left him
mm-hmm.
and became a lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
But she became a lesbian with my wife.
With his wife.
Right.
So we were laughing, and we said, well, why don't we tape something?
And he's staying in this hotel on Sunset,
uh-huh.
and he calls me up and goes, you're not going to believe this place. It has leopard skin bedspreads. It's like Sal and Junior decorated the room.
Right.
It's got women, gigantic posters of women bending over with their breasts.
A lot of cleavage.
And
a leopard skin thing, and the walls are red.
We had the set.
Yeah.
You have the set.
So he called a friend of his who used to be actually a videographer on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, he's mm-hmm. an Emmy-winning mm-hmm. guy, and he's very... Michael Franks.
Michael Franks, great guy.
Who got the singer.
No.
Who got the joke with Sal and Jr., and
right.
he was nice enough to come and just shot it, and he became a character in it.
Now, we didn't know what we were going to do, but
right.
we did like 20 minutes, and...
We brought old records mm-hmm. and we brought props and
maybe we'll put it on the website.
Well, that's what I want to ask you because that's what I've seen and let me tell you, it's funny. So we can put it up
sure.
on the website.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Here's
sure.
the thing, because when Gary showed it to me, I thought this is brilliant and it's very today. This is a great concept because you guys did this so long ago, no one really knows about it. It wasn't successful.
No.
But now you could still do those guys. You've got all the old pictures of you.
We really have publicity shots of what Sal and Junior looked like in their 20s.
We have mullets.
It's very meta, and that's what's hot today. When you've had shows, you know, you had the show Entourage. Now it's a movie.
Yes.
You had the comeback with Lisa Kudrow. It's a lot of this show within a show. Episodes with Matt LeBlanc.
Right.
There's a lot of shows within a show, and I want to encourage people to. We're going to put this up on the website. Watch Sal and Junior. It's them looking back at what they did before.
Right.
I think there's a show there.
Well,
I swear to you, I think there's a show.
Say it right
there.
On our podcast, Tony. If anybody hears what we just did or they see what we did on the website and they want to do a show, you've got a role on it. You can be our butler.
Well, and Rob, my friend, you're hired also.
Oh, thank you. Well, and I do, as a good producer does, I have some good metrics in front of me. And I just found out that 10% of the Tony Perkins Show's listenership are agents for CAA.
Oh, whoa. Well, that's great because the agent...
It's a staggering statistic.
That's fantastic because I'm sure our agent is dead.
He is. I definitely know he's dead.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, Sam, back when you were doing the development deals and all that, you got the deals, what was the weirdest experience that you had?
Oh, God. I know where he's going to go.
Yeah. Well,
I know where he's going to go. That's not fair.
There's so many of them, but the one that stands out the most is we go in to do the pitch and the scene and whatever. And
if you're doing the Arthur Company, then you need to let me tell this.
I want to hear Sam.
Well, he doesn't know the whole.
I don't know the whole story because there was a lot of drama going on in Gary's
life. How about
this?
I give you the background. I tell you what I said.
No, you know what? You can tell them the whole story.
No, I don't want to.
All I want to do is just have 20 seconds where I am in the
office.
No,
I'm leaving you with that.
Okay.
I'm going to leave you with that.
Okay.
Right. So this is terrible to admit on the show, Tony.
But go ahead and do it.
I had a very interesting life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I needed to do a little fixing. So I thought I needed a tune-up. So I spent 15 years in therapy.
Okay.
And sort of near the end of my time there, I referred to it as kind of a nervous breakthrough.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I would refer to it as a nervous breakdown.
But it was not. It was not. I was going to work every day.
Uh-huh.
I was still married to my first wife.
Okay.
And something very unusual started to happen. Every single day when this kind of epiphany happened at my therapy session, every day for a certain amount of time, and I never knew when it was going to happen, I would cry for a little bit.
Always conducive to comedy.
And I never exactly knew when it was going to happen. And actually, at the beginning, you know, Pauline, my first wife, she got very upset, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then she got so used to it, it lasted about a month. About a month, every day I cried.
So you would cry?
I would just cry.
Okay.
And then I would stop and I'd go about my business. But it was silent crying. It was just bouncing up and down crying and tears running down my face. And I really couldn't tell you exactly why. But for a while, you know, Pauline was very concerned. And then we'd be watching television. I'd be on the sofa and she'd be sitting in a chair and she'd hear me. She'd look back. She'd go, oh, Gary's crying. Let's just keep watching television. And we did. But during that period, I found that the only place I was comfortable was under the cushions in the sofa. So I would get...
And you wonder why I call it a breakdown.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, but you know, I would go to work and I would do my job and I would then come home and... Sometimes, you know what, a couple of times, at one point I was bartending,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden while I was behind the bar, I felt it coming on.
Oh my goodness.
So I decided that I needed to go get some more liquor bottles from the liquor cabinet. I let myself cry for a couple of minutes, and I got back to the bar, and I finished making drinks. So I was very resilient about my nervous breakdown. But I didn't really look. I didn't go to the hospital.
Of course.
So Sam and I have a scheduled audition at something called the Arthur Company, which was part of Universal, wasn't it? So I can't remember Arthur's last name. He was just another, you know, fraud that we wound up doing the thing for. So we get there and we're going to do it for a producer we had been working with. His name was Craig Kellum.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in charge of Sal and Junior. And he was presenting us to everybody in the Arthur Company.
Gotcha.
We were about to do it for a room full of 20 people,
okay,
which we've done a million times.
Right.
But I thought I ought to give Sam a little caveat before we go in. I said, listen, Sam, I just want you to know something. I'm going through a very strange period and I start to spontaneously cry and I never know when. So if anything happens when we're in Craig's office before we go down to go do the scene, I just want you to know why. Sam, take it.
So that was pretty much the setup. And again,
he's going like, what? What?
Yeah, and then it's like, Gary, Sam, I think we're ready for you.
We go to
Craig's. We go into the office, and I think you excused yourself.
Well, not yet. We're sitting there talking. We're having a nice chat with Craig, and I look over at you, and I say, I need to just, I think I better go to the men's room. And Sam goes, yeah. Why don't you just go to the men's room? So now he's left with Craig.
And Craig,
I'm gone.
Craig was a very funny character. He would lie down on the couch. Remember, he would lie down on the couch.
Uh-huh. Yes, always.
And you would be talking to him. He'd say, excuse me 1 second. And he would lie on the couch. Go, okay, go ahead.
This is the craziness of Hollywood,
yes,
Rob.
Yes.
And so now...
It's got to be a power move of some kind.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm in the office, and we're trying to make small talk.
Right.
And he's like, so, you know, you're ready to go, and we're going to do this in a couple minutes. Ready. We are ready.
He said, what's with Gary?
Yeah. And I don't know what to say. Right. He's good. He's outside. He may be having a nervous breakdown, but I think he'll be back. I think he'll be funny. So it'll be fine. And it was. So you came back.
I walked back in. We then go down to the big office where everybody is, and we do the scene.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I'm wondering, am I going to make it or am I going to start crying?
Yeah. And I'm thinking, the funny thing is when you do the scene as many times as we did it, we could look at each other and go, oh, man, we're dying.
Right.
Pick up the pace. Let's get out of here because the motor's going on the car. Let's get out of here.
Right.
And then and this one, I'm going, don't cry. The scene may not be working great, but don't cry.
I gave him a look like, I'm good. Yeah.
Right.
I'm good.
That's funny.
We did it, and we left. And this was at one time, there was tremendously bad language in this scene.
Mm. Yeah.
We wound up cleaning it up for one particular sitcom, and we left it this way.
Oh, okay,
But at Craig Kellum's, at the Arthur Company, it was really chock full, as you like to say.
Wow.
This is the... Now, women always laughed like crazy, no matter how dirty it was.
Right, right.
This is the one time they didn't.
Oh.
Well, they brought in almost the entire group was female.
Wow.
And I
wow.
think... All the receptionists,
wow.
all the development executives, and they sat there, and they watched us, and they didn't crack a smile.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, my God. That must be so painful.
And I didn't cry.
I'm surprised you didn't cry.
I cried.
All right. Briefly, Sam. So you're still in L.A.
You're acting.
You're writing.
Yes.
Yeah. And you've got something in development now. Is that what you were saying earlier?
Yeah. I have a screenplay called The Secret President, which is a really interesting story, which is Woodrow Wilson had a stroke in his second term, and his wife, Edith, basically took over the presidency for 2 years, and it's one of the most fascinating stories in American history
that nobody knows about
because everybody's kind of plastered over it because mm-hmm. it's like a real awkward, embarrassing moment in American mm-hmm. history. Yeah, so that's the latest script that I've been working on, and then I have another one that I'm just finishing, which is about Thomas Edison, basically right before he died, gave an interview to Fortune magazine, basically saying that he had come up with the greatest invention of all time. A machine that could allow him to speak to the dead.
Really?
Yeah. And then a year later, he basically said it was all a joke. He never really did it. And Edison never joked about any of his inventions.
Right.
The prototype was destroyed. The plans were destroyed. And so that's kind of...
Really?
Yeah. So that's kind of the premise for it, that they're redoing the lab here in North Orange, the Edison lab.
Very
and basically they decide to build the spirit communicator, which is what it was called,
right.
to get press. And, of course, now it works.
Oh, my God. That's a great idea. That's a great idea.
Well,
yeah.
Listen, can I just say one thing?
Yes.
No.
Well, you know what? Then you lose.
Oh, if it's about me.
Yes.
If it's about me, then you can
well,
say
no,
it.
Well, no, it's not only about you. It's nice.
Okay.
So Rob Ford, if you would write the date down.
Yes.
This is the only time this will happen. I do want to say that when we stopped writing, it's because I moved to New York.
Mm-hmm.
But in that time, Sam won just about every writing award you can win in L.A. for playwriting and screenwriting. He won everything.
Mm-hmm.
He was like one of the best known playwrights, and his stuff always got amazing reviews,
mm-hmm.
and he's phenomenal. He has stuck to his guns, and he's written all these years while I've been here trying to figure out what I'm going to do for a living.
Well, you kind of veered off into producing and all that kind of thing.
Yes.
So.
Well, it was very interesting, and I don't want to go on too long, but it was very interesting when you stop writing with somebody. it was very emotional. It's almost like getting a divorce.
Sure.
Yeah. And he, not only did we stop writing together, but he moved to the East Coast and I was still in Los Angeles.
Yeah. It was very hard for us.
There was a couple of years where it was very hard. I mean, it's like having, you know, getting a divorce from your wife.
Right.
And
right.
You kind of always want the best for them, but you're like, well, you know, he's probably not doing that well right. without me.
Well, I mean, this is very weird because, you know, Gary left you and moved to a different life, and then I inherited Gary
exactly.
15 years ago, but we went through, or more than that, I guess, but we went through this 10 years ago because we were together. We talk about this sometimes. We were together every day, working together, on the road together, laughing, crying, I mean, experiencing great highs and awful lows and all that kind of stuff, become very close, always laughing. There's always laughter and a lot of creativity.
Like we always did.
Right. When I left Good Morning America, it was very weird. All of a sudden, we would still talk on the phone like you guys, but it's different.
Oh, yeah.
It's different.
Oh,
yeah. Now we see each other again a lot, and I know you're on the left coast, as they call it, but we love having you as part of
this
family.
This has just been wonderful.
We really do.
This is going back to the beginning of the show because you have no idea what it means to me to have both of you in this room together. This is just crazy.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad we've done it. Sam Agrafia, we will. You have a website or something?
Yeah, just samagrafia.com. Very clever.
If you want to check them out. And of course, Sam has appeared on previous episodes. Look those up in our rundown on our website as Dr. Lionel Brunswick. I wish you the best with the upcoming project.
Well, thanks, guys.
And please come back anytime.
We'd love to. This was a kick in the pants. It was really fun.
Well, good, because this was it. This was the only one.
And we're going to put the Sal and Junior thing on our Facebook page. And I'm serious. I hope, listen, guys, if you know anybody in the business, get them to watch this thing. I think, and I have nothing to gain from it. I'm not part of it, unless you want to write in, you know, a youthful.
Well, we'll see what we can work out.
You can be our youthful ward.
Yeah. A youthful, balding, black character, you know.
Get
the skunk fur. And if you know somebody, get them to watch it, because I think there's a show there. I really think there's a show there.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Mr. Perkins, thank you very, very much.
My pleasure. That's all we got time for. We thank you for listening to the show. Sam, thanks for coming by. Rob, thank you. Next week, it's our 4th of July show. We're going to do something really different. We think you're going to really enjoy it, so join us then. We'll see you next time, folks. Peace.
And just a gigolo, and everywhere I go, people know the part I'm playing. Paid for every dance, selling its romance. Oh, what they say. There will come a day and youth will pass away. What will they say about me? When the end comes, I know they'll say just a gigolo. Life goes on without me. And just a gigolo, everywhere I go, people know the part I'm playing. Paid for every dance, selling each romance. Oh, what they say. And there will come a day and youth will pass away. What will they say about me? When the end comes, I know there's just a gigolo. Life goes on without me, 'cause I ain't got nobody. Oh, and there's nobody cares for me. There's nobody cares for me. I'm so sad and lonely. Sad and lonely, sad and lonely. Won't some sweet mama come take a chance with me? 'Cause I ain't so bad. And I'm a singer. Read love song. Oh, love the time. She will only be. Only be. Baldy, bozy, but. Bleep.
I ain't got nobody.
Nobody, nobody cares for me. There's nobody cares for me.
I'm so sad and lonely.
Oh, lonely, oh, lonely, lonely, lonely. Won't some sweet mama come and rescue me? 'Cause I ain't so bad.
The Tony Perkins Show.
A Moore Broadcasting presentation. This is Dude Walker speaking. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.